Chapter 52. Then you have been unfaithful to me, and I doubt it's a damned lie, shouted Willems, waking up for a moment in too righteous indignation. I know, be generous. Think of my misery since you went away, oh. I could have torn my tongue out. I will never believe anybody. Look at the boy, be merciful. I could never rest till I found you. Say a word, one word. What the devil do you want? Exclaimed Willems, looking towards the river. Here's that damn boat. Why did you let them go away? You stupid. Oh, Peter. I know that in your heart you have forgiven me. You are so generous. I want to hear you say so. Tell me, do you?
Yes. Yes.
Said Willems, impatiently. Forgive you. Don't be a fool. Don't go away. Don't leave me alone here. Where is the danger? I am so frightened. Are you alone here?
Sure.
Let us go away. That's sense, said Willems, still looking anxiously towards the river. She sobbed gently, leaning on his arm. Let me go, he said. He had seen above the steep bank the heads of three men glide along smoothly. Then, where the shore shelved down to the landing place, appeared a big canoe which came slowly to land. Here they are, he went on, briskly. Must get my revolver. He made a few hurried paces towards the house, but seemed to catch sight of something, turned short round, and came back to his wife. She stared at him, alarmed by the sudden change in his face. He appeared much discomposed. He stammered a little as he began to speak. Take the child. Walk down to the boat, and tell them to drop it out of sight, quick, behind the bushes. Do you hear? Quick. I will come to you there directly. Hurry up. Peter. What is it? I won't leave you. There is some danger in this horrible place. Will you do what I tell you? Said Willems, in an irritable whisper. No. I won't leave you. I will not lose you again. Tell me, what is it? From beyond the house, came a faint voice singing. Willems shook his wife by the shoulder. Do what I tell you. Run at once. She gripped his arm and clung to him desperately. He looked up to heaven, as if taking it to witness of that woman's infernal folly. The song grew louder, then ceased suddenly, and Asa appeared in sight, walking slowly, her hands full of flowers. As he had turned the corner of the house, coming out into the full sunshine, and the light seemed to leap upon her in a stream brilliant, tender, and caressing, as if attracted by the radiant happiness of her face. As he had dressed herself for a festive day, for the memorable day of his return to her, of his return to an affection that would last forever. The rays of the morning sun were caught by the oval clasp of the embroidered belt that held the silk sarong round her waist. The dazzling white stuff of her body jacket was crossed by a bar of yellow and silver of her scarf, and in the black hair twisted high on her small head, shone the round balls of gold pins amongst crimson blossoms and white star-shaped flowers, with which as he had crowned herself to charm his eyes, those eyes that were henceforth to see nothing in the world but her own resplendent image. And she moved slowly, bending her face over the mass of pure white champakas and jasmine pressed to her breast, in a dreamy intoxication of sweet scents, and of sweeter hopes. She did not seem to see anything, stopped for a moment at the foot of the plankway leading to the house, then, leaving her high-heeled wooden sandals there, ascended the planks in a light run, straight, graceful, flexible, and noiseless, as if as he had soared up to the door on invisible wings. Willems pushed his wife roughly behind the tree, and made up his mind quickly for a rush to the house, to grab his revolver and... Thoughts, doubts, expedients seemed to boil in his brain. He had a flashing vision of delivering a stunning blow, of tying up that flower-bedecked woman in the dark house, a vision of things done swiftly with enraged haste to save his prestige, his superiority, something of immense importance. He had not made two steps, when Joanna bounded after him, caught the back of his ragged jacket, tore out a big piece and instantly hooked herself with both hands to the collar, nearly dragging him down on his back. Although taken by surprise, he managed to keep his feet. From behind she panted into his ear, "That woman! Who's that woman?" "Ah, that's what those boatmen were talking about. I heard them. Dot dot heard them dot 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 heard dot 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 in the night. They spoke about some woman. I dared not understand. I would not ask. Dot dot listen dot 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 believe. How could I? Then it's true. No. Say no. Dot dot who's that woman?" He swayed, tugging forward. She jerked at him till the button gave way, and then he slipped half out of his jacket, and, turning round, remained strangely motionless. His heart seemed to beat in his throat. He choked, tried to speak, could not find any words. He thought with fury, "I will kill both of them." For a second nothing moved about the courtyard in the great vivid clearness of the day. Only down by the landing place a Waringan tree, all in a blaze of clustering red berries, seemed alive with the stir of little birds, that filled with the feverish flutter of their feathers the tangle of overloaded branches. Suddenly the variegated flock rose spinning in a soft whir and dispersed, slashing the sunlit haze with the sharp outlines of stiffened wings. Mamat and one of his brothers appeared coming up from the landing place, their lances in their hands, to look for their passengers. Asa, coming now empty-handed out of the house, caught sight of the two armed men. In her surprise she emitted a faint cry, vanished back and in a flash reappeared in the doorway with Willem's revolver in her hand. To her the presence of any man there could only have an ominous meaning. There was nothing in the outer world but enemies. She and the man she loved were alone, with nothing round them but menacing dangers. She did not mind that, for if death came, no matter from what hand, they would die together. Her resolute eyes took in the courtyard in a circular glance. She noticed that the two strangers had ceased to advance, and now were standing close together leaning on the polished shafts of their weapons. The next moment she saw Willems, with his back towards her, apparently struggling under the tree with someone. She saw nothing distinctly, and, unhesitating, flew down the plankway calling out, "Come!" He heard her cry, and with an unexpected rush, drove his wife backwards to the seat. She fell on it. He jerked himself altogether out of his jacket, and she covered her face with the soiled rags. He put his lips close to her, asking, "For the last time, will you take the child and go?" She groaned behind the unclean ruins of his upper garment. She mumbled something. He bent lower to hear. She was saying, "I won't. Order that woman away. I can't look at her." "You fool." He seemed to spit the words at her, then, making up his mind, spun round to face Asa. She was coming towards them slowly now, with a look of unbounded amazement on her face. Then she stopped and stared at him who stood there, stripped to the waist, bareheaded and somber. Some way off, Mamat and his brother exchanged rapid words in calm undertones. Dot 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 this was the strong daughter of the holy man who had died. The white man is very tall. There would be three women and the child, to take in the boat, besides that white man who had the money. Dot 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 the brother went away back to the boat, and Mamat remained looking on. He stood like a sentinel, the leaf-shaped blade of his lance glinting above his head. Willem spoke suddenly. "Give me this," he said, stretching his hand towards the revolver. Asa stepped back. Her lips trembled. She said very low, "Your people?" He nodded slightly. She shook her head thoughtfully, and a few delicate petals of the flowers dying in her hair fell like big drops of crimson and white at her feet. "Did you know?" she whispered. "No," said Willems. "Hey sent for me. Tell them to depart. They are accursed. What is there between them, and you who carry my life in your heart?" Willem said nothing. He stood before her looking down on the ground and repeating to himself, "I must get that revolver away from her, at once, at once. I can't think of trusting myself with those men without firearms. I must have it." She asked, after gazing in silence at Joanna, who was sobbing gently, "Who is she?" "My wife," answered Willems, without looking up. "Why wife according to our white law, which comes from God?"
"Your law,
your God," murmured Asa, contemptuously. "Give me this revolver," said Willems, in a peremptory tone. He felt an unwillingness to close with her, to get it by force. She took no notice, and went on, "Your law. Dot dot are your lies. What am I to believe? I came, I ran to defend you, when I saw the strange men. You lied to me with your lips, with your eyes. You crooked heart, dot dot ah," she added, after an abrupt pause. "He is the first. Am I then to be a slave?" "You may be what you like," said Willems, brutally. "I'm going." Her gaze was fastened on the blanket under which he had detected a slight movement. She made a long stride towards it. Willems turned half round. His leg seemed to him to be made of lead. He felt faint, and so weak that, for a moment, the fear of dying there where he stood, before he could escape from sin and disaster, passed through his mind in a wave of despair. She lifted up one corner of the blanket, and when she saw the sleeping child, a sudden quick shudder shook her, as though he had seen something inexpressibly horrible. She looked at Louis Willems with eyes fixed in an unbelieving and terrified stare. Then her fingers opened slowly, and a shadow seemed to settle on her face, as if something obscure and fatal had come between her and the sunshine. She stood looking down, absorbed, as though he had watched at the bottom of a gloomy abyss the mournful procession of her thoughts. Willems did not move. All his faculties were concentrated upon the idea of his release. And it was only then that the assurance of it came to him with such force that he seemed to hear a loud voice shouting in the heavens that all was over, that in another 5-10 minutes, he would step into another existence. That all this, the woman, the madness, the sin, the regrets, all would go, rush into the past, disappear, become as dust, as smoke, as drifting clouds, as nothing. Yes. All would vanish in the unappeasable past which would swallow up all, even the very memory of his temptation, and of his downfall. Nothing mattered. He cared for nothing. He had forgotten Asa, his wife, lingered, hewed everybody, in the rapid vision of his hopeful future. After a while he heard Asa saying, "A child. A child. What have I done to be made to devour this sorrow and this grief? And while your man-child and the mother lived, you told me there was nothing for you to remember in the land from which you came. And I thought you could be mine. I thought that I would." Dot, her voice ceased in a broken murmur, and with it, in her heart, seemed to die the greater and most precious hope of her new life. As he had hoped that in the future the frail arms of a child would bind their two lives together in a bond which nothing on earth could break, a bond of affection, of gratitude, of tender respect. She the first, the only one. But in the instant she saw the son of that other woman, she felt herself removed into the cold, the darkness, the silence of a solitude impenetrable and immense, very far from him, beyond the possibility of any hope, into an infinity of wrongs without any redress. She strode nearer to Joanna. She felt towards that woman anger, envy, jealousy. Before her she felt humiliated and enraged. She seized the hanging sleeve of the jacket in which Joanna was hiding her face, and tore it out of her hands, exclaiming loudly, "Let me see the face of her before whom I am only a servant and a slave. Yewa! I see you." Her unexpected shout seemed to fill the sunlit space of cleared grounds, rise high and run on far into the land over the unstirring treetops of the forests. She stood in sudden stillness, looking at Joanna with surprised contempt. "A Sirenai woman," she said, slowly, in a tone of wonder. Joanna rushed at Willems, clung to him, shrieking, "Defend me, Peter. Defend me from that woman." "Be quiet. There is no danger," muttered Willems, thickly. Asa looked at them with scorn. "Odd is great. I sit in the dust at your feet," she exclaimed jeeringly, joining her hands above her head in a gesture of mock humility. for you I am as nothing. She turned to Willems fiercely, opening her arms wide. What have you made of me? She cried. You lying child of an accursed mother. What have you made of me? The slave of a slave. Don't speak. Your words are worse than the poison of snakes. A Sirenai woman. A woman of a people despised by all. She pointed her finger at Joanna, stepped back, and began to... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.